כהנים. איי 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 יברך חו. Hashem
Hashem
Ay 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 Vishmerecho Hashem
Hashem
Ay 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 Oh no
Good evening to all. Thank you all for coming. Just a couple of announcements today before we begin this year. Important announcements. Number one is that next week is going to be Shavuos. There's no class Tuesday night because it's Shavuos. However, I would like to invite everyone over here to a very beautiful Shavuos celebration. In that Shavuos, we know, you know, this center is called Mayan Yisrael, and it means the wellsprings of Yisrael, which is referring to the wellsprings of the holy Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Now, the Baal Shem Tov's yard site is on Shavuos. And this year is the 251st yard site of the holy Baal Shem Tov. Last year, we made a very big celebration on Shavuos. And it was exceptionally beautiful. It was 250 years. It was a big, a momentous occasion. This year is 251, so you have everything, all the blessings of 250 plus one extra. So it shouldn't be any less. We are doing a very beautiful event on Shavuos, aside for the study and learning all night at Mayan Yisrael. I'll be giving a class in the teachings of the holy Baal Shem Tov, the teachings of Chassidus, on beginning at 12 o'clock, midnight, Tuesday night, next week Tuesday. Aside from that, on the second day of Yom Tov, which is Thursday, next week Thursday, we're going to have a dessert reception beginning 5:15, and this is p.m., 5:15 p.m. for men and women. We're going to have some prominent rabbis addressing the event. We have the great honor of having Rabbi Krauss, Rabbi Yaakov Krauss, and Rabbi Daniel Korobkin, myself. We're all going to be talking about playing a tribute to the holy Baal Shem Tov, talking about his contribution to world Jewry and what he means to each and every one of us today. The topic we're going to be talking about is his theme and his motto of Rachmana Liba Boya, that Hashem wants the heart. God is not looking for a dry service. He wants us to serve him with the heart. And how is it that we get passionate in our Judaism and connect Hashem through with an emotional service, with feeling and excitement? So that's going to be next week, 5:15, and then there is continued by Mincha, and the latter part is for men, and that is we have a time of singing and connecting to the soul of the holy Baal Shem Tov. I last year was very special. You can feel his holy presence. I definitely. It was a very, very, very wonderful experience. So it's a time for everybody to join together. So even if you live on the other side of town, it's good to come. Thursday day, it's worth it to be part of this very, very special gathering. Second announcement I'd like to make, and that is a public apology and a confession. Last week, I gave a class, and in the midst of a class, I quoted a pasuk. I quoted a verse, or I thought I was quoting a verse. I made up a verse that doesn't exist, and I'm apologizing for that. I haven't gotten anybody telling me that, because I don't know how many people realized it. But, I prepare the class, and then I go for a walk, and I'm processing the ideas. And in the midst of my walk, I said, oh, wow, that's that pasuk from memory. And I quoted the pasuk, and I totally misquoted the pasuk. And that's not so bad. What's terrible is that I made a whole pshetel in explaining a pasuk and the why it says that way, total opposite of what the pasuk says. So that's a pasuk from the Haftorah. I said, Bayoyim Ahu, whatever it is, Benoom Hashem, Tikri Ishi, Veloy Tikri Li Oid Baili. I mixed it up. And it just teaches a lesson that when you're speaking for an audience, especially since if it goes out in the CD and many people are listening to it, got to be careful with what you say. And it's important to take the time to look things up and not just do things callously. So I'm sorry for that. And that's my apology. The third announcement, again, today's big part of the class is going to be more introduction than class. So I hope you forgive me for that. The third announcement today is a very big thank you for those who dedicated tonight's class. First, we have Mr. David and Marcy Kaufman, and they are dedicating this class in honor of the recent marriage of their son, Ari, to my student, Chana Anya. She was in my class a few years ago. How special and how wonderful. And may Hashem, their marriage was on Lag BaOmer. May Hashem bless this young couple with abundance of blessing, with a lot of bracha, in all the begashmias, the beruchnias, in the physical and the material, with happiness, with peace, with it should be a binyan adeyad, an eternal home, with children, with health, prosperity, and many generations, and the shechina, God should dwell in their home. They should have, and there should be a binyan adeyad. A second dedication tonight was by Mr. and Mrs. Melach and Chana Weiss, and this is in honor of their anniversary, which is tonight, Chaf Ches Iyar. May Hashem bless the couples that have been long married to each other, also with the newness of a new marriage, and happiness and joy to many, many years together, and nachas from their children, prosperity and all the brachas that Hashem can give. Miyadei harchava v'hamaleya. Big thank you to them. Third dedication tonight by Rabbi Ruvein and Mrs. Chana Liba Nathanson, and this is in honor of Yartzeit in their family. Rabbi Nathanson's father, whose Yartzeit was last week on the 22nd of Iyar, Yitzchak ben Yaakov Shmuel. May his neshama have a very great aliyah to the greatest of heights. May he bring a lot of blessings down to him and to his mishpacha, and the merit of the shir should carry his neshama to the greatest of heights. Mrs. Nathanson's father, whose father's yard site is going to be next week, Mordechai ben Shloime Yontif. This is going to be Dalet Sivan. May his neshama have a wonderful, wonderful aliyah, awesome aliyah, and a lot of blessings from both these grandfathers to their mishpacha and all that they need, and beyond what they need, in a manner of abundance. Very big thank you. The third and last dedication, or the fourth dedication tonight, is a dedication of the CD. And here is a dedication that we at Mayan Yisrael are dedicating this CD to a very, very dear friend of ours, a very special friend. Our community was rocked and heartbroken from the news today of the passing of the pillar, the foundation of the Los Angeles community, Yisachar Doiv Ben Yoina Weiss, Mr. Beryl Weiss. Now, generally, this class is not a eulogy. You know, we mention people and we thank people for the good that they've done. But I'm going to take an exception and talk a little bit about Beryl Weiss. And the reason for that is simply because this center and everything you see has been happening over here, and all the good and every single CD and all the inspiration that is given to so many Yidden coming from this place, it's all thanks to one person, Beryl Weiss. He has been there from the beginning. He was the founder of Mayan Yisrael. It was him, his inspiration. He's the first person I went to when I talked about opening a center. He was the first pledge that I've gotten of support, which gave me the inspiration to go ahead and build it and build a center. He's the person when things became exceedingly tough and the initial excitement and inspiration might have worn off and I had to deal with reality of covering the bank. Constantly, the person who I can turn to, like a little child going to a father, the person I can storm into his office and say, please help me, was Beryl Weiss. And for that, Beryl, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all you've done for us. You've put us on our feet. You've been there for us all the time. And I remember walking into your office, standing and asking you many times for your assistance. And I saw, literally, at times you winced in pain because things were very, very tough for you. And I saw when you pulled out your checkbook, you didn't have the means to write that check. And with pain, you said, you're asking, how can I tell you no? And you would write checks. And it was just awe-inspiring to see your dedication and devotion to what we were doing. You had the vision and the understanding of the uniqueness and the specialty of what was happening over here. And that's so special and so amazing. And for that, I have to thank you in the name of myself and the name of all of the thousands of Jews that have been impacted and continue to be impacted and will be impacted by this learning center and Torah center. It's all in your schus, it's all in your merit. And for that, a very, very big thank you. I also just wanted to say that what I found is so special. Now, just because remembering today, my last encounter with Beryl Weiss. It wasn't my last encounter. The second to the last time I had met with him was I got a call one morning, as recently, just 2-3 months ago. It was after the passing of his dear wife, and Beryl was not feeling well. He was quite ill, and I hadn't seen him for quite a while. He hasn't been coming to shul, and I got a call from Yanky Rychik, and he said, "Come over. Beryl wants to see you." So I immediately came over to his house, and he was davening. He was in his talis and tefillin, and Beryl was all smiling. He finished his davening, and he's like, his face is radiating. And he says to me, I've always been listening to your CDs a little bit. I take them, I listen to the class, but I'm usually busy when I'm listening. I was going traveling in the car, and I never really got to sit and listen to an entire class. But in the day in the morning, I'm home, I wanted to learn some, get some Hasidic inspiration before davening. I put your CD in, and I listened to the entire shir. He was so excited, saying it's so wonderful, it's so amazing, it's so inspirational. He was really... So, and he was thanking me. And he said to me at that time, he said, I am going to support you. I'm going to support you with all I can. And he showed me his support then very strongly. And that's comforting to me because I know that Beryl has been going through some tough times because of his over-graciousness and his over-kindness in giving beyond his means, way, 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 way beyond his means. And so he was limited. As much as he wanted to give and give and give, there were limitations. But now he made a promise to me that he's going to support me, and I have no doubt, and it support my Yisrael. So I have no doubt that he is now in a place where he has infinite resources, where he's not constricted. And from that place, he's going to channel his blessings to all of us and give us so much bracha, so much kindness. And this is what's comforting. The uniqueness, I just wanted to, reflecting today, as I walked into shul in the morning, and instantly I turned to Beryl's corner in shul where he would sit every morning and daven. And I saw the seat vacant. Now, he hasn't been there for a few months, but still, after I heard of his passing, it was my natural instinct to walk inside and turn around and to look and to see the empty seat. And I was thinking, you know, people always come to shul, and there's all kinds of people coming to shul. And people sit in a certain place, that's their place. Okay, if they leave the shul, they go daven in another shul, or a person leaves this world, someone else takes their seat. But my thought was, who is ever going to be able to sit in Beryl's seat? You can't. And aside for all the kindness and the endless goodness that he's given and he gives with such caring, with such love, it was just a personality. It's just a personality and a character and a presence that is irreplaceable. That it doesn't. You can't. And when I was thinking about it, what really dawned upon me, which was so unique and so special, is that when, you know, to be giving and giving and giving and giving, It takes a sensitivity, but it's more than a sensitivity. Beryl's heart, he felt other people, and he felt every person so deeply. He felt other people's pain. In a very, you know, to be able to give, as I witnessed, when he told me, he said, "I don't have, but I'm giving you anyways," and you can see that he wasn't saying stories. To be able to give from a place when you don't have, it means that the other person's plight and their situation is touching you in an essential core at your essence, which means that there was a deep space in his heart for thousands and for every individual. And I used to, when I was lost, not knowing what to do, I would text my friend Yanky Rajcik and say, you know, with Beryl, you really didn't know, you know, what's going to happen. So there was this great intimidation. To really, if I need to imagine fear of going, standing in front of Hashem or standing in front of the memory that is in my head is approaching, especially if I crashed his office, because he didn't like when you crashed his office. But I had to sometimes, I had no choice, because I would just bounce my rent check or something else, and I couldn't do that. So I knew I have to march into his office. And I was taught by people how to do it. Don't ask the secretaries, just make believe you don't see anybody, just go right in. So I would text Yanky Rajcik and wait, and he would then would say, "Tell me when is a good time. Tell me when the mood is ripe." And he would tell me, "No, don't go today. Or go now, come now, yeah, this is a good time." So I would gather the courage, and I would march into the office. And usually in the hallway, I would stop because there were people in the office. And it was the most astonishing thing, the type of people that were in the office. It's people that generally wouldn't get into any other office. People that people would lock their doors on. The people sometimes so difficult and so hard. And you would hear Beryl would sit and listen to everybody's tzaris. And he would get annoyed, and sometimes he would yell. But then you would hear his compassion. He would say, "Write him a check for this." And I, so much. And I would listen to it. I would listen from, I was eavesdropping from the office, from outside. And then I was terrified of what's going to happen when I go in. And Baruch Hashem, it was something to see. So what I found but interesting is, you know, there are some people who have a very tough heart. And the heart meaning is, when your heart is tough, means you feel yourself very much. You feel yourself. Then there are people with very soft hearts. And a soft heart is someone that you feel other people can enter into your heart, you feel others. But when you have a soft heart, it's usually is accompanied by a non-feeling of self. You don't feel yourself, you feel the other individual. You don't feel yourself. What was so beautiful and so amazing and so unique about Mr. Weiss and about Beryl Weiss is that he had an entrance to every person can enter into the essence of his heart, to the core of his being. But at the same time, as his son Moshe Aaron said so beautifully today by the funeral, Beryl was his father. He said is ferocious. He was a lion. He was like his name is Doiv, is a bear. He had such a personality and such strength and such power. And in you, you had this interesting, unique blend. He felt your pain so deeply, so strongly, but when he gave, you can feel his presence so strongly. See, here you have the paradox.
the paradox of being and non-being. Because he was fully present. He gave with such flavor, either with such kindness, either with such firmness. You could get and you'd be receiving a rebuke at the same time. There was such a presence of him, and at the same time, a total space, which he felt the plight and the need of the other person. And I'm thinking to myself, how's that possible? How's that possible to have a space that's filled with both someone else and filled with himself, which was so unique? I never saw that before. And then it occurred to me that it says, Tzadikim doimim labayram. Tzadikim, righteous people. And if there's anybody who is a tzaddik in tzedakah, a tzaddik in givingness, it's Mr. Weiss, and are compared to their creator. God is the one in his omnipotence that contains these two opposites. The opposites of being and non-beingness. Because when he created the world, he created a space, a tzimtzum, a vacancy, an empty space. Now that space is where all of us can exist. We exist within that space that Hashem has removed for the existence of creation. But at the same time, the Baal Shem Tov teaches us that the tzimtzum doesn't mean that God has left. It's impossible for God not to be. God fills every nook and cranny of existence. He's fully present, and at the same time, he's fully non-present, allowing for the creations to exist simultaneously. Being and non-beingness together, and that comes from God's omnipotence. He is omnipresent everywhere, but at the same time, nowhere, allowing our space, giving us our free choice, giving us our beingness. And this unique power and strength and specialty is reflected in the souls of some individuals. And in Beryl Weiss, I've glimpsed of Hashem's greatness, of the being and the non-beingness. Now for all of us over here in the community, the comfort is, as we know, that a neshama, when it goes up to heaven, when a neshama goes up, the day of his passing, today is a very special day for our community, because the day of a passing of a great man, it says his neshama is planted in Gan Eden. It's planted in the source of all neshamas, which is the Shechina. All the good deeds, all the mitzvahs that this person has done, and who can ever imagine the mitzvahs, the endless goodness that came from this one individual, all that on the day of his passing rises up to its source and it's planted in the supernal earth. The earth above is called Eretz Achayim, that's the source of neshamas. It says that this is the day that it's planted. And then, as a result of it being planted, it issues forth, it gushes forth its vegetation, its produce. And the community, the environment, the family, and all the people that were connected to this individual are recipients of the great responding of showering blessings, the storm of blessings that is evoked by this tzaddik's seed of all of his good deeds that are planted. So today, there's no doubt, there is great blessings flowing to world Jewry, particularly to the Los Angeles Jewish community, to the family, to each and every one of us. And there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see the materialization of these blessings. May Hashem help that those the recipients of those blessings, whichever way the blessings will come, will follow, will have the wisdom and the understanding to follow in the footsteps of this super mega soul, of this incredible giant, father to countless people, to have that knowledge and understanding that Hashem gives us blessings to share it with others and to give to the point when it hurts. May Hashem bless you, Beryl. And I just want to say, in tonight's class, we're going to discuss a topic. My last meeting with Beryl, which was very, very special to me, was a couple of months ago. He found out, a little while, he knew that I was a Kohen. And he asked me that I should bless him as a blessing of a Kohen. So every day in shul, whenever I would see him, he would call me over, and he would say, okay, be my Kohen, give me my blessing. And I had the merit to put my hand on his head. Usually he wasn't wearing a hat, he was wearing his talis and his tefillin. I would put my hand on his head,
and I would offer the priestly blessing, the Birchas Kohanim, to him. After he was in the hospital, and I haven't seen him for a long time, on Pesach, it occurred to me that Beryl must be waiting for my blessing, because he needs a Kohen to bless him. So I walked to the hospital on Shvisho Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, and I went up to his room, and I came, and he was very weak at that time. And I saw that his face lit up, and I gave him the priestly blessing. And he was murmuring. You can see he was saying it along with me, and he waved his hand to thank me, and I left. So that was my last encounter, giving the blessing of Birchas Kohanim to this very, very, very special, very, very unique and great individual. So tonight's class, we'll dedicate, this week's parasha is the parasha of the priestly blessings. So we would dedicate this class to the blessings of the Kohen. So this week in the parasha, it says like this. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. God says to Moshe, Hashem speaks to Moshe, saying, Daber al Aharon v'albanav, speak to Aaron and his sons, lemor, saying, Koy sevaruchu es b'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. Omer lahem, say to them, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you v'yishmerecha, and he should protect you. Yair Hashem panav elecha, Hashem should radiate his countenance elecha to you, v'yuchunecha, and he should give you favor, or favor you. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, Hashem should raise his face up to you, v'yaseim lecha shalom, and he should give to all of you, he should give you peace. Then it concludes, v'samu eshemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Place my name over on the Jewish people, and I will bless them. This is a mitzvah to the Kohanim, that they have a mitzvah to bless the Jewish people. Now, this mitzvah is a mitzvah really on the Kohanim to be performed daily. In the time when the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Kohanim would bless the Jewish people in the Holy Temple. In the morning, every day, there was a blessing of the Kohanim. During the exile, so depending on the communities, in certain Sephardic communities, the blessing still is something that is done every single day. In Ashkenazi communities, it's not done every day, only on the holidays, on the Shalosh, on Yom Tov. Coming next week on Shavuos, we're going to have another opportunity as a Kohen, myself and all my other brothers of Kahuna, to bless the Jewish people. This is a mitzvah. And we know that this blessing is the highest blessing. This is the greatest blessing. And that's why it's so important not to miss the opportunity, especially in those communities where it's only done on the holidays. So important to come, men, women, children, to be there by this blessing, because there is no blessing in the world that is as powerful as the priestly blessing. We need to understand what is so unique of this blessing of the Kohanim that makes it stand out from all the other blessings. You can get a blessing from a tzaddik and the like. And we as Jews have the power to bless. We're always blessing each other. Even the simple greetings are blessings. We say good morning. It's good morning. You should have a good morning. It's a blessing. We bless each other. Shabbos and the like, these are all blessings. We're continuously blessing. But the Kohanim have a unique power, especially when they stand before the ark, and they give this blessing. What is the power? What is the potency of this blessing that elevates this blessing above all the other blessings? If we take a look at the blessing, Hashem says, Koy sevarcho es b'nei Yisrael, omor lahem, say to them. The sages learn out from this seeming redundant words, what does it have to say? Omer lahem. It says, Koy sevarcho es b'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. What does it have to say? Omor lahem. We learn out from here that the blessing needs to be recited in the holy tongue, in Lashon HaKodesh. You can't say this blessing in any other language. It must be said in Lashon HaKodesh, which isn't the case in many other things that we're obligated to say. We're obligated to recite the Shema every day, but the reciting of the Shema could be said in another language. But not the Birchas Kohanim. It must be said in Masechet Sota, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us a whole bunch of things that need to be said precisely in Lashon HaKodesh. We need to understand why is it that these blessings can't be translated into any other language. The other interesting thing is, the concluding verse, it says, V'samu eshemi al b'nei Yisrael, place my name over the b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarechem, and I will bless them. So, what does it mean, and I will bless them?
Who is it referring to when I will bless them? Who will God bless? So the Talmud in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Memtes, Amid Aleph, in Tractate Chulin, Daf Memtes, page 49, in the first side of the page, the Talmud brings an argument, a dispute between two sages, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Who is it referring to when it says, Vani Avorchem, that I will bless them? Rabbi Yishmael says as follows, that God is saying to the Kohanim, you bless the Jewish people, and after you bless the Jewish people, Vani Avorchem, and I will bless the Kohanim. Which means you bless them and I will bless you. Rabbi Akiva says no. Vani Avorchem means and I will bless them, referring to the Jewish people. Which means I will agree to the blessing of the Kohanim. First the Kohanim bless, and then God gives consent to the blessing. He gives his approval to the blessing. That's Vani Avorchem. According to Rabbi Akiva, what's with the Kohanim? Do the Kohanim lose out? The Kohanim are not blessed. They bless the Jewish people. What's with their blessing? So Rabbi Akiva says, no, of course the Kohanim are blessed, but we learn out, we derive their blessing from a different verse. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, va'avorcha mevarachecha, I will bless those who you bless. I'm sorry, those who bless you. Those who bless you, I will bless them. It means any person that blesses Avram, or any descendant of Avram, if anybody blesses the Jewish people, they are blessed. As the Tosfos brings in the name of the Yerushalmi over there, that a non-Jew that blesses the Jewish, that any blesses the Jewish people or an individual Jew, brings blessings upon himself. Because we are the blessed people of the world. God has blessed our father Avram. And therefore anybody that blesses us is blessed themselves. So therefore, since the Kohanim are blessing the Jewish people, so then they're included in the blessing. They're blessing the children of Abraham, the children of Avram. So therefore, I will bless those who bless you. Okay, that's what the Talmud says. There's two opinions from where we know, from where we derive the Kohanim's blessing. The Talmud concludes, and the Talmud says, Rabbi Yishmael, however, who says that it's derived from the verse over here in Birchas Kohanim, from the verse Vani Avarchem, Rabbi Yishmael, the reason he was a Kohen himself, and because he was a Kohen himself, that's why he always helped the Kohanim. He's a Kohen that's helping Kohanim. He's assisting the Kohan. What does it mean he's assisting the Kohanim? Because he's making sure the Kohanim get blessed. So the Talmud says, wait, hold it. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Kohanim are also getting blessed. So why are we saying that to Rabbi Yishmael? Because he was on the same team of the Kohanim, he was one of them, therefore he's assisting the other Kohanim. Rabbi Akiva also mentions the blessing for the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rabbi Akiva's blessing is a separate blessing, but Rabbi Yishmael puts the blessing of the Kohanim together with the blessing of the Jewish people, which means together in that blessing of Birchas Kohanim. Because it's from the same verse, Vani Avarchein, included in this blessing of Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmarecha. And that's why Rabbi Yishmael is a friend of the Kohanim. Rabbi Akiva, whose blessing to the Kohanim comes from a different verse, it's not as great. So we need to understand why. It clearly implies over here that if the blessing to the Kohanim comes together with the blessing of the Jewish people, and as part of Birchas Kohanim, it's a much higher blessing than if it's the blessing that God says, I am going to bless those who bless the children of Avram. Which is telling us that the blessing of the Kohanim is even greater than the blessing of God to Avram. So we need to understand why. What is so great of the Birchas Kohanim? To understand all of this, let's get a little insight and understanding into the meaning of blessing. Bracha, what does blessing mean? The word bracha means to draw forth, to cause a flow. God is the source of all goodness. God is the source of all blessings, of all the good. A blessing means the Hashem's goodness and Hashem's energy is flowing to any individual. That's a blessing. It's coming forth. It's coming out of its source. It's emerging from its potential, from its hidden state, so to speak, within God's heart. And it's coming out, and it's blessing that individual. It's channeled, whatever the blessing is. If it's a blessing for wealth, for livelihood, then it's coming. The energy is coming from Hashem, and it's now flowing to that individual. The energy is coming from Hashem and bringing a child into the world, blessing a couple with children. The energy is coming from God and healing the sick. The energy is coming from God and enlightening someone who's confused. Whatever kind of blessing the blessing is, it's coming. So it's like opening up the faucet. The water is there in the tank, but now the water has to come out. And that's hinted to in the word baruch. The word, the meaning of the word baruch, means a flow. As we say, the sages in the Mishnah use the word, the root of the word baruch is from the word hamavrich. Hamavrich es hagefen. Mavrich es hagefen means grafting a vineyard. That's if you have a vine, and the vine is growing, and you want to increase and create another vine. So one of the ways of doing, instead of planting new seeds, is to take one of the vines and extend it, draw it from the main vine, put it beneath the earth, cover it up with soil, a couple of feet further, 10, 15, well, as far as the vine can go. You're putting it beneath the ground, and then from the place where it's coming down, it's sprouting forth a whole new vine. Which means what you're really doing is you're taking the life, the energy, the life force that's in already this finished vine, and you're drawing it from one place to the next place in order for it to take hold and to express itself as in this new, to give life to a new vine. So you see clearly that the word baruch means lahavrich, means to draw forth. Therefore, the inyan of bracha, the idea, the concept of bracha, is the idea of chesed. It's kindness. That's what kindness is. Kindness is a projection. A projection from the source outward. See, there is two main emotional attributes. One is chesed, kindness, and the other one is gevura. Gevura is might. One is projection, and the other one is contraction. Gevura is a returning to self. Things going back into their source. That's gevura. Chesed is when a thing flows. So, when it's dealing with two people, someone who has certain abilities, and he shares his what he has with one that doesn't have, so it's flowing. It's flowing down. That's why water, it's like water. Water, chesed is water. The mashal for chesed is water. Water is also in its source. There is deep, the water is in beneath the ground, the subterranean waters. But over there, they're not beneficial. They're not giving anything. They're not giving life. But then the water spurts forth from a spring. That's a bracha. It came out from a hidden, concealed potential state, and it comes out into the open. And once the water comes on out on the surface, it becomes life-giving waters, giving to drink all the animals and all the thirsty, all the people that need to drink, and bringing water for all plant life and the like. So it's coming from the hidden into the revealed. That's chesed, that's kindness. Now we understand why Kohanim are the ones who were given that unique mitzvah of blessing the Jewish people, because the character, the makeup of the Kohen's neshama, of the Kohen's soul, is the character of chesed. Kohanim are essentially, the nature of their soul is, it's a soul of kindness. As it says in the Pasuk, we mentioned it a few weeks ago in a class, Tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. Your Urim v'tumim, which is the breastplate the Kohen Gadol wore on his chest, with the special parchment of the divine name, which was called the Urim v'tumim, that is placed on the heart, the man, a man of kindness. Because the Kohen Gadol, with the greatest, the highest Kohen, he is a man of kindness. That's the nature of their souls. The nature of the Levites, which are in the same family, is the opposite nature. They're fiery. They're fire. The element of the Levium is Gevura. And their idea is returning to their soul, to their source. It's like fire that is leaping upward, wanting to go away from manifestation and go back to its original source beyond manifestation. So that's the difference between water. Water flows from its source and from its word outward. Fire returns back into its source. Kohanim project outward, and that's why their whole energy of their soul is channeling godly light down to the world from its hidden source, into the world, which is also the concept of what we call, when we say, Baruch. Baruch Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. God's light should be drawn min ha'olam, from the supernal world, from way up there, down into the world, from one world to the next world, as they are bringing it down. That's the nature of their soul. And the Levites are rebounding energy, life that's returning back to the source. That's why the Levium were the ones who were singing, because singing expresses longing, fervor, fire, yearning, desire to go back to our source. As a result, it's an upward motion as opposed to a downward flow. So the Kohanim are the ones who were given the mitzvah of blessing because they're rooted in blessing. However, there is something unique and special about the Kohen blessing that makes it greater than every blessing, because all blessing is a flow. What is special about Birchas Kohanim that makes it unique and special? And the idea is, by the way, just another idea in regards to the Kohanim being revelation and bringing things down. Who is the chief Kohen, the first Kohen, the Kohen Gadol? Was where all Kohanim are descendants of Aaron. If you take the word Aaron and you rearrange the letters, you get the word Nireh. Aaron rearranged is Nireh. Nireh means visible, revealed, which means Kohanim and Aaron, not Kohen, his job was to take the invisible blessings, divinity that is beyond, transcendent, above the creation, where it's not known, where God's kindness isn't known to the world. It's higher than the creation. And his power of his neshama was to take all that light and make it visible for the world to see, which means for the world to be beneficiaries, to receive that blessing, to experience as God's blessing. He makes the revelation. All revelation of divinity into the world comes through the soul of Aaron HaKohen. He is the one that takes God from the unknown into the nearer, into the revealed. But what is so special again about this particular blessing of the Kohanim? Now, the interesting thing is, the power of the Kohanim's blessing is that the Kohanim, when they bless, the blessing comes with enormous speed. The uniqueness of the Kohuna is that their ability, there is such a intense power to their blessing, is that their blessings materialize very quickly. It happens in an electrifying speed, which is not necessarily the case in all other blessings. Blessings can take a long time until they materialize. Not the blessing of Kohanim. It's chick-chack. As soon as they bless, the blessing is there. DSL speed, or even faster than that. Why is that? What is the idea of the Kohanim's blessing being so quick and so powerful? We see that there were those people who we find that there was by a few weeks from now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to read Parshas Korach. We read about the uprising against Moshe, and they were challenging the priesthood of Aaron, of the high priest, of the Kohen Gadol. And in order to prove, after everything that happened, in order to prove the Jews were still not, their minds were not at peace, and they were still challenging Moshe, so in order to finally remove all arguments, Hashem told Moshe to gather the staffs, the sticks from every shevet, the nasi, every nasi had a staff. They took their sticks and they put it into the Holy of Holies. And then it says that, and they put it there overnight. The next morning they came back and all the staffs remained regular bare staffs. And the staff of Aaron, the staff of Aaron, the high priest, it says, Vayitza itzitz vayigmol shkedim. I'm not quoting again the pasuk exactly. It says that the staff blossomed, and it gave out, it budded, and it blossomed, and it flowered, and vayigmol shkedim, and finally almonds grew. So this was the miracle. A regular stick is not attached to the ground, and here there's almonds that are growing, and it happened only on Aaron's staff, on Aaron the high priest's staff. The question, however, is why the almonds? Why? It could have been something else. It could have been cherries. It could have been strawberries. Or any kind of fruit. Apricots. Or you want to get grapes, which is Shiva Saminim. Almonds? What is so unique about almonds? And it says the reason is because almonds is the quickest fruit to grow. There isn't anything that grows so quickly. From when it begins to flower till it's completed, it takes 3 weeks. There is no fruit that comes so quickly to completion. Over here, it happened overnight. But there is no fruit. That's why we find it's actually hinted to in the word shkedim. The word in Hebrew for almonds is shkedim. Shkedim means swiftness, shaked. We know that when Hashem showed Yirmiyahu a prophecy about the pending destruction of Jerusalem, he showed him a stick, an almond staff, an almond stick, which was representing that this is a stick that is going to bring a beating to the Jewish people. But the reason why it was a stick of an almond was to show how quickly this was going to come, the punishment. So there is that quick, and that's why we know that all the suffering and all the time of mourning of the Jewish people is the 3 weeks, because it's the 3 weeks of the almond in which the troubles came to the world swiftly. Just like there is a negative almond tree, there is a positive one. The Kohanim are connected to this power of blessing, of speed blessing. Kohanim is speed blessing, enormous speed. Their blessings don't take any time. But we need to understand, why is that? I mean, why does any blessing take time? I mean, after all, if a person deserves the blessing, then it should come right away. Why should it take time? See, by human beings, we understand why things take time. Because we're human, and we live within the realm of time. So if you come to someone, you speak to them about giving you some kind of a help, whatever kind of help. So first they hear, and they think about it in their mind. They say, come back to me, I have to think about it. And then finally they thought about it, and they're already excited. They give and they make a commitment to help. And they say they're going to help. So that's just an emotional reaction to it. And then they have to take it to the next stage, into action. And finally it materializes. Sometimes it doesn't materialize. They want it, but it didn't happen. But that's a human being, because a human being is human. But God, who has no restrictions of time. So if the blessing is there already, it's a blessing coming from Hashem, so why should the blessing take any time? If the blessing is there, then it should happen immediately, instantly. What's the element of time? And the reason for that is, as is explained, is as follows. Whenever God gives a blessing to any one of us, to the world, the blessing is initiated in the supernal realms above, in the very, very, very high spiritual worlds. Creation is multi-level. There's our physical world, and the Kabbalists, however, tell us that there are four general stages in creation. There's the world of actualization, the physical world, Olam HaAsiya, the world of actualization, or the world of completion. There's the Olam HaYetzirah, the world of formation, it's a spiritual world with angels. Above that is Olam HaBriya, the world of creation. And above that is the world Olam HaAtzilut, the world of emanation. So in general, there's four worlds. But really, in every world itself, there is what we call Hechalos, many, 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 many chambers, many levels, levels upon levels and levels. Really, sometimes, as the Zohar explains, there is millions, myriads and myriads of worlds. When God initiates a blessing, He's initiating the blessing in its source, all the way up there as it's coming from God and entering into the progression of worlds. That blessing, from God's perspective, it can pass all the worlds, doesn't have to take any time. He can do it instantly. It's not a question. It doesn't take any time. But the reason why it does take time is because the blessing needs to be redefined. Because when God says, I am blessing this individual, what's the content of that blessing? How do we define the blessing? Hashem says, I want it to be good for this neshama, for this soul. This person deserves my goodness. I'm giving them something good. But how do we define goodness? Well, the sublime angels above, if they're the ones who are going to execute the goodness, they're the recipients, and they're the messengers who have to take this blessing to this individual. An angel has no clue about material physical things. It means nothing to them. So in the world of an angel, what means good in the mind of an angel? If you come and you bring an angel a Mercedes, he'll laugh. Ridiculous. What is a goodness? Well, any kind, even physical life is ridiculous. It's insane. So what's good in the mind of an angel? An angel? What's good in the angel is in a moment when it can, when this angel can perceive godliness, when it can understand, when it can appreciate, it's in a moment that it has an insight in the majesty of its creator. That's when the angel gets a glimpse of God's greatness. A little more than it knew yesterday. The angel is overjoyed. There's no greater blessing. So, but if those blessings would be delivered to us from the angel directly in that state, we'd need that as well. We need insight and understanding of divinity and godliness. But we also need physical clothing, shelter. We need to pay our mortgage. We need to pay our rent. We need to pay the gas bill. We need to pay the electric bill. We need to be able to send our children to school. Sometimes we need a peanut butter sandwich. The angel in heaven doesn't know what a peanut butter sandwich is. It's a problem. So what happens to a blessing? The blessing needs to be redefined from its abstract spiritual state, where it means spiritual light, and it needs to be redefined into physical blessings. But to come to a physical world, it has to be redefined billions of times. Because in every world, their appreciation of the blessings is higher than the lower world. So as God says, bless this soul, okay, we're going to give the blessing. But again, the blessing could be some kind of a spiritual illumination. And it won't materialize in physical things. So the blessing must come down. Down, 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 down. That's interesting. A reason it is explained, an interesting thing, that it takes, that every day we know that Hashem blesses the world and decides the fate of every individual on Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem gives us mezaynosef shal adam, the food, the livelihood of a person, k'tuvam loy m'Rosh Hashanah v'ad Rosh Hashanah. The mezaynos, the food of a person, has been set aside and allocated for every individual on Rosh Hashanah. Nevertheless, every day we stand and we pray to Hashem to please give us rifa'enu, give us health, baruch aleinu, give us parnasa, give us livelihood. What's the use of praying every day if it has been given already Rosh Hashanah? It's been given already, so we have to pray every day. And the explanation is, the reason why we have to pray every day is, because even when God has bestowed upon your soul blessings, those blessings might remain up there. It's put into your account, but the blessing has to come down and materialize in physical needs down here in this world. It's possible that the blessing will not come down. It's possible the blessing will remain in the spiritual realm of the world of Bria, the world of Atzilus, and will not come down into the physical world. What's going to happen if it doesn't come down? Your neshama is going to experience that blessing after 120, when the soul goes into Gan Eden, into the world, into the blissful world to come. Over there, it's going to enjoy that light that it has stimulated from God on that Rosh Hashanah in the year 1999, when it prayed to Hashem on Tav, whichever, Tavent Hashem for a blessing. Those blessings were given to him on the Rosh Hashanah, but it didn't come down, it didn't trickle down into the physical. So it remains in the account of the soul for the neshama to enjoy these blessings after 120, when it's going to be given all that light. That's wonderful. It's great to keep some for retirement. It's wonderful to keep a lot for retirement. But you can't just live on retirement. If we're down here below, we need Hashem's brachas in the physical. So the bracha must come down. At least part of it must be channeled into the physical world. Now here's what happens. When those blessings are sent down, in every world, there is a whole board of whoever they are. I don't know who's in part of the board members. They're the ones who have to put their stamp on the blessing. They have to give their approval for the blessing to come down into the next world. There is a Beis Din. There is a court. And there's judges. And they look into a person, are you worthy for the blessing to come down? I mean, Hashem has decided you're worthy. But who says you're worthy in your physical incarnation? Maybe you're worthy as a soul. As a neshama in heaven, over there you're worthy for this great light. But you're not worthy for God's beautiful, godly blessings to thicken and to materialize into such physical things. In a certain sense, it's a waste of a blessing that it's coming down into something so physical. It's nicer when it's in the spiritual. So the person really needs to deserve it, that Hashem should take the blessing and put it into physical things. Every world, there is a new, they convene again, should they pass the blessing into the next world. Because there is a constant convening, that's what causes the time from a blessing to come down. It takes a while because it needs to pass through all the bureaucrats. And every world is, oh, again, have to be. It's like when you're expecting a check from a company or whatever. But the problem is that it has to go through so many offices. One has to put their signature, and the next one has to put the signature. And you're waiting, and you keep on calling. When is the check coming? Yeah, it's here, it's there. Doesn't get to you so quickly. So too, the blessings that come stage by stage. They could be interrupted, and that's what interrupts the flow and causes the whole thing to slow down. For that reason, there needs to be the exception. And that's why, oh, by the way, also why it says, Adam nidan b'chol yom, a person is judged every day. You were judged already in Rosh Hashanah. Why are you judged every day? God has already judged. The answer is, the judgment is to decide whether the blessing should continue to flow and should come down into the things that we need in our world, or should it remain in heaven. So we have to pray every day. We also have to be judged. We're also judged every day to decide the continuation of that blessing. Kohanim, what's unique about the Kohanim is their blessing comes down and it bypasses all the scrutiny. It bypasses all the offices. It goes immediately from its spiritual infinite state of God's light, and it comes down into the material without any stoppages, without any waiting. It doesn't need any stamp, any approval. And that's why it comes down instantly. That's why Kohanim is Shkedim, quick, swift. Why? Why is it, what's unique about their blessing? That they're able to bring it down in a manner that it doesn't take any time. It doesn't stop in any world. And that is because the source of the blessing is so high. The source of the blessing is so deep. It's a place where godly light isn't so intense and so powerful that it cannot be stopped. It can't be halted. For instance, the example for that would be a river. Sometimes, for whatever reason, you want to set up a mill, a windmill, or a mill by the water, or for whatever other reason, they want to create a dam to stop a river. So you put logs, twigs, and you can halt the flow of a river, at least slow it down. That's a river that's flowing in its normal state. But when you're dealing with a river in spring runoff, or you're dealing at the certain points of the river where it's very, very rocky and there's a lot of rapids. If you ever went to see one of the gushing rivers in springtime, and the river is coming with such ferocious power, with such intensity, can't even think of stopping that water. You can't create a dam. Even if you're going to try to put slabs of concrete, it'll just sweep the concrete away. Anything that's put into its path is going to be swept away by the intensity of the flow of the river. Can't stop that river. The Kohanim elicit the flow of divinity from such a place, from a river that is unstoppable. Ordinary blessings are coming from a place, a more mellow river, and that river could be stopped. What is that? What is the difference of these two places? We know, we said earlier, all blessing comes from Hashem's attribute of chesed, kindness. But there's two levels of divine kindness. There is chesed, as chesed is one of the 10 attributes. And we just finished Sfira Sa'omer. We're not finished. We're making our concluding round of Sfira Sa'omer. So the first of the week, the first day of every week, we are mentioning the attribute of chesed. Chesed is an attribute. It's a divine attribute. One of the attributes. God's kindness. God's kindness is endless kindness. God gives so much kindness to the world. That's called Midas HaChesed. Midas HaChesed. The attribute of kindness. But then there's a level that we say in the 13 attributes of mercy, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. And over there we say Verav Chesed, abundance of kindness. And the Kabbalists say it's not, abundance of kindness is a whole different level. There is the attribute of Chesed, which are one of the 10 attributes, which is an attribute which God has emanated to run the world, to run the creation. Therefore, even though it's a divine attribute with all the limitlessness of a divine attribute, but on the other hand, since it's an attribute which Hashem had projected in order to have a relationship with His creation, the attribute has some kind of a measure. It does take the world into consideration. It's called Midas HaChesed. It's a Midah. Midah means a measure. It's a measured kindness. Rav Chesed is the level of Chesed that is in the supernal crown. God's crown, Keser. Over there, God is still higher than having whatsoever relationship with the world. He's infinite, and the kindness is infinite. His love to the Jewish people has no end, no limits. Over there, he loves us not because of anything that we deserve. It's an infinite love. That's Rav Chesed, abundance of Chesed. An ordinary blessing comes from Midas HaChesed, the attribute of Chesed. The Kohen's blessing is plugged in to Rav Chesed, to that gushing flow that cannot be stopped. So if an angel tries to poke his head in and try to mess with that blessing, he will be swept along with the ferocious power of the river. And that's why no one tries to interfere with that blessing. When Kohanim step in front of the Aron HaKodesh and they begin their Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, they're reaching the divine essence. They're plugging their souls into the place of Rav Chesed, and a gushing forth, a godly life force gushes forth into the all of creation and reaches us in our most physical needs. That's why the translation of the Yivarechacha means Yivarechacha, bless, and the sages say b'mamon, with money. It comes down in money instantly. It's cash in the bank immediately. It's a bracha of children immediately. A bracha for a shidduch immediately. Everything immediately, instant. Because the blessings can't be stopped. It's coming from the infinite, from the endless. Why are the Kohanim? To understand this a little better, what's this power that the Kohanim can tap in to a place so high, so deep, so immensely great? So the idea is as follows. When a person is in trouble, when a person is in need of any kind of situation, so first of all, we always need God's blessing. That's a given. But there is what we take for granted, which is the usual flow. And then there are times when things get tough. Parnassa isn't going well. The person is having a hard time, is having difficulties making a living. God forbid there is an illness. They need a special blessing of Hashem, Refuah, and the like. There are two options. There are two ways in which we can go about to elicit God's assistance, Hashem's help. One path is called the path of tefillah, prayer. We pray. You can daven. You can pray to God. Every Jew has the ability to pray. Jew and non-Jew also. Everybody can pray. You can pray to God and ask God. It's a mitzvah to pray. When you're in need, it's a mitzvah. God says, please talk to me. I'm your daddy. I'm your Abba. Talk to me. Ask me for what you need. That's one path. There's another path. But people do chas v'shalom when they're in a tzara. They go seek a blessing. They go to a tzaddik. They go to a rebbe. They go to a great person. And they look for a blessing. Please bless me. What's the difference between a blessing, between the mechanics of a blessing and the mechanics of prayer? See, a blessing, the way a blessing works, the uniqueness of a blessing is that I'll give just an example for it. It's as if, it's like when a person comes to an ATM and you want to draw funds, you put your card in and you get it, they ask you for the PIN number. And you don't remember the PIN number. You don't have a PIN number. And it really is frustrating because you know you have the money in the bank, but you can't take it out. You remember because it's not an account that you usually use. You don't remember the PIN numbers. What do you do? Standing, I try. Everybody got their PIN numbers. I try this one, try that one. It's not working. So what do you do? So you go to the bank and you say, can you help me out? If they know you, they might be able to access your PIN number. Or they can issue you a new PIN number. They want to have the old PIN number, but they can get you a new PIN number or issue you a new card and enable you to draw your funds. Okay, that is a blessing. What is the meaning of a blessing? A blessing is, if you're looking for a blessing, the idea is you are trying. You know, a blessing can only be when you have the blessing already in your source. We said earlier, God has already allocated to your neshama a certain blessing. The problem is, it's getting stuck. In the material world, you're lacking in health, you're lacking in livelihood. So who do you go to? You need to go to a bank manager. You need to go to someone who can issue you a new PIN number or can find your PIN and give access to it. A tzaddik is someone who has access to the supernal worlds. A regular individual like us, we're living in the material world. Our life is physical. So if sometimes we might have all the blessings in our account, but we can't access it. So we turn to a tzaddik and say, you know what, I think I might have it, please. And that's why it's interesting. Sometimes a tzaddik gives a blessing, sometimes they don't give a blessing. Sometimes you wonder, why is he so, he's cheap with a blessing? Bench another Jew. Why sometimes people went to a tzaddik and he wouldn't give the blessing? A real tzaddik. Sometimes they give, sometimes they didn't. And the reason is because the tzaddik can only, what a tzaddik does instantly is he tunes into your soul and he goes to your soul source and he sees if there's any money in the account. If there is, he's able to channel it down, and the person can't, but he can do it. That's what he means. He gives the blessing, bracha, he draws it forth from its account. If it's not there, he can't help. But we still have an option. What's the option? Even if there's no money in the account, you can still pray. What's prayer? Prayer is a difference. What happens if you go to your account and you try to take money and you realize that you're an empty? The account is empty. You don't have any money there. But your emergency, you need money. So one of the things you can do is you can call your boss and ask for a raise. You can ask for a bonus. You're asking for help. You want him to deposit new money in the account that's not there. But that, you're not sure you're going to get. Possible, not possible. It's not a definite thing. But on the other hand, again, you can get what's beyond the account, even what's not in the account. You can ask that he should put more and extra into the account. That's the beauty of prayer. Prayer, we're standing in front of God, we're asking for God to give us even something that's not there. That's why the classic aspect of prayer is, Yehi Ratzon, let there be a will. Meaning, even if Hashem has not willed your neshama, Rosh Hashanah, he did not have a will. He has given your neshama a slice of life, and the slice of life was a little too thin. It did not have enough to supply this person with the miracle that you need right now. You don't have it. So you're asking Hashem, you're saying, Yehi Ratzon, let there be a will now, a new will, even if the will isn't there. The advantage of that is, the sky is the limit. There is no limit. Because a Jew can ask God, and God is limitless. He can give whatever he wants. The downside of that is, maybe yeah, maybe no. Your boss is not always going to decide to give you a raise. He's not always going to decide to give you the bonus. It's up to him, if he wants to, if he doesn't want. The beauty of a blessing is, if you have the money in the account, you just need access to it. The one who has access to it could give it to you, and it definitely will work because it's there already. So the blessing of a tzaddik, the blessing, whoever can bless, it's definite. The prayer is maybe, yeah, maybe no. Now we'll understand the uniqueness and the power of the Birchas Kohanim. The beauty and the greatness of the Birchas Kohanim. By the way, it's getting a little late, but I just would like to say this. This will also explain a fascinating story that when Ephraim and Manasseh were brought in front of Yaakov, Yosef brought his two sons in front of Yaakov, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Yaakov put his hand, switched his hands, crossed his hands over, and he put his right hand on the younger son, Ephraim, and his left hand he put on Manasseh's head. And Yosef thought his father maybe was making a mistake, and he tried to fix his hands, and Yaakov says to him, no, I know what I'm doing. Even though he's older, the younger one, however, is going to be greater. So I'm giving the stronger blessing, the one from my right hand, to Ephraim, even though he's younger, because he's greater. So the question is asked, simple question. Why is he greater? Because you blessed him. If you bless Manasseh, then Manasseh is going to be greater. Manasseh is the older one, so bless Manasseh. And the answer is based on what we said before. When Yosef brought his two sons, Yaakov zoomed into their souls. And he saw, he can only draw down what's there in their potential, what's there in their source. Ephraim had a much greater soul. His neshama, his potential was much greater. So Yaakov says, I can bless him only with the greater, because he is greater. And I can only take it to manifest from potential into actuality. He is the greater son. But then we need to understand, what was Yosef thinking? So say, maybe Yosef didn't know this. But Yaakov taught Yosef the entire Torah. So Yosef must have known this as well. So whatever Yaakov knew, Yosef knew. Why was Yosef persisting it should be differently? Yosef wanted his father to pray. He said, yeah, I know, understand blessings, he's greater. If you're drawing down from the source, but maybe you can pray. Praying has no limit. But Yaakov said no, because Yaakov wasn't in prayer mode. Yaakov was in blessing mode. And in blessing mode, I can bring what's there in the source, not take something new. This is generally blessings. There is one blessing that is an exception, and that is the Kohen's blessing. What is so powerful with the Kohen's blessing? The Kohen's blessing comes from a limitless source. See, the ordinary blessing comes from the source of the one that is being blessed. And that is from where? What's the ultimate source from where we're all being blessed? From Midas HaChesed. God has an attribute of kindness with which he runs the world. And that attribute gets, from there, it gets sliced and divided to every creature, a certain percentage of that kindness, some of that kindness. But it has a limit. The Kohen, here's the thing. The Kohen has the power to bless, because by the Kohen, God said, your blessing is going to come not from my attribute of kindness. Your blessing is going to come from the very same place that prayer reaches, and even deeper than prayer. Your blessing comes from the source of blessing, not the source of the creation. What's in the? You're not tapping into the account of the created being. You're tapping into God's personal account. Over there is infinite. So really, the blessing of the Kohanim is not the blessing of the Kohen. It's Hashem's blessing. Hashem is saying, now I am blessing because I am blessing. Not because of your deservance. Not because of where you're holding. So it has the advantage of prayer, but it also comes in a manner of definite. Sure, because the Kohanim, God says to the Kohen, you will be my mouth now. I will bless through your neshama. And that's why he says to him, say it in my language. You can't say it in your language, because if you're saying it in your language, it means you're interpreting, it's coming, it's your blessing. It has to be Amar Lahem Belashon HaKodesh, in my language, because it's me, myself, and I am blessing the people through you, the Kohen. That's why we understand also why Rabbi Yishmael was the one who loved the Kohanim, greater than Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva placed the blessing of Kohanim from the regular blessing of Avraham Avarechecha, Hashem is blessing the Jewish people from the source of the Jewish soul. But Rabbi Yishmael, who loved the Kohanim, he was a Kohen amongst them, said that the Kohanim's blessing is also from the place of Rav Chesed, abundance of kindness, of God's infinite love to the Jewish people. And that's why part of the blessing of Birchas Kohanim is Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem should look away from our sins and bless us no matter what. Because it's a place where nothing matters. The only thing that exists over there is God's infinite care and love for the Jewish people. That's why that blessing is with such abundance and endless. The greatness of the blessing. Concluding the shir, going back to our dear friend Beryl Weiss, if anybody needed to glimpse a moment to see within a human being a little trace of Rav Chesed, limitless kindness, infinite kindness, it was flowing through the heart of Mr. Weiss, of Beryl Weiss. And I therefore would like to say that, you know, when I stood and I blessed you Birchas Kohanim, it was the greatest schus and merit for me to be able to place my hand on your holy head and tap into the Rav Chesed that you practiced every day, limitless. You could not restrain his kindness. He couldn't restrain his kindness, literally could not restrain. The kindness flowed with such intensity that even when he couldn't, he did it anyways, because there was no limit to that kindness. May this Rav Chesed, this abundant Chesed that you exemplified, flow to all of your children, to your family, to all the grandchildren, to all of our community, and may we all be blessed with that internal blessing.
Hashem,
Hashem,
ay 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 ay, oh no. Yeah, 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 ye